Hello.
Hello. Okay.
Hey Logan,
How are
how
you?
are you? I'm good. I'm excited to meet you.
Yes, I'm so excited. I've never done this before, so I'm thrilled. Thank you for having me.
But we've only done it like four times, so you're good.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Logan, where are you calling from?
I am calling from Emerald Isle, North Carolina. It's a small island on the coast of North Carolina.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. I've been here for 11 years now.
I don't know what I did with my headphones, but that's okay. Okay. So Logan and I talk about pop music pretty much every day.
Nice.
I realized.
Every day.
Yeah. I realized we probably do talk about every day. So what I'm gonna do is
Great. We're gonna call you our pop music correspondent.
yes.
End of the
Okay.
pod. I'm gonna do I have a little intro and everything. So do you have any other questions, Logan, before we start record like officially?
I think I'm gonna be okay. Yeah, you guys just kind of like take the lead and
I don't
I'll
know
give
if you
you guys whatever opinions come to mind and we'll kind of play off each other.
edit. Right. Yeah. And we send it to like an editor, and like if you say something and afterwards you're like, ooh, I don't wanna like have that person's like name out there or something, just like let us know and we'll like, you know.
Cut that out.
Yeah.
Okay,
You
sure
can
thing.
say it too. Yeah, you can
Okay.
also like tell us and say, hey, don't put this in the pod. Like his name is Gustav, our editor. So you can just say, hey, Gustav, cut it out.
Goosebump?
No, Gustav.
Gustav. I thought you were saying
Oh,
goosebump.
no. No, Gustav, our beloved
I was like,
editor.
what?
Gustav.
Gustav.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Hi, Gustav. Hope you're good. Okay. Welcome to I Totally Paused, the podcast that deep dives into the most iconic moments in the 90s and early 2000s. I'm Siobhan.
And I'm just, do you want to do that again?
Yeah.
You did the pop culture one.
Okay. Welcome to I Totally Paused, the podcast that deep dives into the most iconic moments in teen pop culture from the 90s to the early 2000s. I'm Siobhan.
And I'm Jess.
And I'm
And
Logan.
oh, Logan, I was going to introduce you, but okay, this is Logan.
Hi,
Recently,
guys.
Hi.
we are calling Logan. He's a friend of the podcast, and he is our pop music correspondent. And
Yes.
he's called an emergency, off-topic, yet totally necessary meeting regarding what is going on with our queen, Britney Spears.
Sure, it's so off topic. I was just thinking about this because it all started back in the early 2000s. This has been going on for a long time.
More than the early 2000s, the late 90s.
Holy moly.
Yeah, because she did Baby One More Time was just had its 20th anniversary this year.
I always forget. I was reading a little bit about all of this today, and I read something that said, like, the 37-year-old pop star, and I was like, the what? Like, I don't know. If that makes me older than I think I am, or if it makes her younger than I think she is. But I never realize, I always forget how like close to our age she is.
I was surprised when it like I heard the age recently too, and like I'm just like, wow, that just does not seem right.
No.
But she also looks really good too.
It's insane.
Right, she also looks
It's
a lot younger than we are, than we do.
crazy to think about how far she's come just in our lives from being like little Catholic schoolgirl in her uniform to now being this mother icon who has literally like we've watched her go through so much that none of us could ever endure, but she's still here with us, and it's amazing.
And we saw her as a kid on the Mickey Mouse Club, so really, we've been watching her since she's a child.
Our lives without her. I was thinking about, like, we throw the word iconic around a lot, but she is, like, a literal icon.
Completely.
Literally, like, it doesn't matter if she has a new album out or if she's even doing anything. She's one of those quote-unquote icons that when she shows up somewhere, it is an absolute frenzy just because she means that much to so many people.
Yeah, she'll never not be relevant.
Ever.
And I think part of her charm was that she's always been, like, seeming so down to earth in, like, all of her interviews and, like, even, like, a little bit shy. And I think that, like, always made her so much more endearing to, like, to everyone.
Do you remember Troy McGeady on the Smush Room one time was talking about, like, someone he knew who went to the meet and greet for her Vegas residency?
Uh-huh.
He said that, you know what, I don't think he was actually talking about her. I think he was talking about how Justin Bieber stopped doing meet and greets because it, like, sucked his energy.
Okay.
Saying that someone who did the Britney meet and greet said that before she comes out, someone comes out and talks to the line of people and they say, like, you know, you grew up watching Britney, you feel like you know her, you need to remember that she doesn't know you.
Yeah.
So you can't touch her, you can't go running up to her, like, you can't, like, you know, she's gonna get nervous. She's a person and she doesn't know you.
Yeah, I have some tea about that. You guys want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay, so whenever you go to a Britney meet and greet, and this is something that I've heard from people all across the world, whether it was her Vegas residency, the tour she did for Vegas, Femme Fatale tour, anytime she has a meet and greet, usually the person that coordinates the meet and greets for her and speaks to the fans beforehand and clarifies everything is actually her aunt, whose name is Felicia. And in the fan base, we call her Fee, because that's what Brittany also calls her. She'll just be like, hey, Fee, come here. So we've always known her as Fee, and she's always been, like, very integral in Brittany's career. And I guess, I don't really know when it started happening, but it was after the circus tour, Fee got put in charge of the meet and greets. And so that person that goes to talk to the fans beforehand and kind of gives them the lowdown on everything to make sure that they don't freak Britney the hell out. That's actually her aunt.
That's interesting. That's nice to know that it's someone who, like, I would assume, like, actually has her best interest at heart.
You would assume Absolutely. A lot of people close to her have her best interest at heart, wouldn't you? But we'll get into that
later. Oh, yeah. Well, that's a whole new ball of wax.
Yeah, we'll unpack that later. I actually did a Britney CD signing. It was for In the Zone in Times Square. So what was that, 2003? And we waited all night, overnight in Times Square, like slept on the street. And it was like 500 people that got a ticket to get her, like our CD signed by her, which that is insane. You met 500 people in one day and like signed your name 500 times. And like everybody wants their like special moment with you. But they kind of also said like, you know, she's not going to personalize things. She's not going to like, don't give her anything. Like basically it was, you know, you get to say hi pretty much. Hi and thank you and goodbye. And, although one of my friends, Shamar, he's like a huge Britney fan. And our friend, Jenny, she actually my roommate sophomore year, she was ahead of him. And she said like she used her time with Britney to be like, he is your biggest fan. This guy coming up, this like, he loves you. He loves you. And so when he came up, she was like, what's your name? And she actually signed it to him after like, which was really cool after they specifically said, she will not do that for you.
Aww.
Yeah, and he's like, oh my god, yeah, it was a really cool moment. It was awesome for him.
It was so endearing.
Yeah, and apparently, like, someone, though, did give her a letter, which, like, made her cry, and, like, they actually had to, like, stop the signing for, like, a little while, like, that kind of trickled down the line, so I can, maybe that's part of the reason why they don't want, like, her, like, people to give her things, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think I've seen that video. She was handed a letter or something and she read it right there with a fan in front of her and she got like super, super emotional about it.
She's the best. Love Britney. So did you guys like watch any of her VMA performances like before today? Cause I watched a bunch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I also watched For the Record last night.
Okay, I couldn't find, I tried to watch For the Record, I tried to watch at least part of it during my lunch today, and I couldn't find it on YouTube, but I'm pretty sure I remember it. Is it the one, there was this Britney documentary and like a piece of an interview that always stayed with me where they were asking her, they were like, you know, what would happen if we wanted to like just go take a walk outside right now? And she was like, oh, we can't do that.
Oh yeah, that's the one.
She was like shook at like, the thought of it. Yeah, I remember that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I would argue that for the record, it's funny, like with everything that's going on now, because it really like foreshadowed like where things were heading from her, because I would argue that as far as any celebrity documentary I have ever seen, as much as people say that she's like such a sheltered person and she's so shy and so mysterious, that is like one of the most vivid representations of like who she truly is that I've ever seen like any female pop star do. Like that documentary is absolutely jarring emotionally because it really shows you like legitimately what she goes through. And she cries.
Address what happened to her, because it's in 2008 that they do this. And so they address what happened to her like previously, but they at the same time they kind of downplay it where she's just like, I was around the wrong people. Like, you know, she kind of like they kind of like allude to a lot of like the Sam Lufty stuff, but they don't like directly talk about it and everything. But it's really sad because there's a scene where she talks about like how nobody takes what she's saying seriously. And over that is like another scene where she's talking about how she's mad and everyone's just laughing at her. And she like nobody is taking her seriously. And she says that people will hear what they want to hear and not what she's telling them. Right. And she starts to cry and she says like, it's bad and I'm really sad. And even when you go to jail, there's a time when you know you're going to get out. And Britney's saying this in 2008 after the conservatorship just started.
What did she say? She said, when you go to jail, you know there's a time you're going to get out.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Britney. She says it's like Groundhog Day every day. She said there's
literally just that documentary. I think it's actually on YouTube if you want to check it out sometime. It is like insane, some of the things that she says, and it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, because they talk about like, oh, do you feel out of control? And she's like, no, it's too in control. There's no excitement. There's no passion. And that's what she's saying. It's like Groundhog's Day. It's like the nothing ever changes. It's always the same. And she was saying this like it just started that year, conservatorship. And you could tell she already feels so like bounded by it.
Yeah, that documentary, I believe, if I remember the timeline correctly, that was all... I mean, that was 2008, and if I remember correctly, in February of 2008, that was, like, right after she had gotten taken into the psych ward, whenever we saw all those pictures of her on the gurney with the dark black hair, and she looked really freaked out.
That was January 31st of 2008. That was, yeah, so you're right. Like, February is pretty much when the conservatorship happened, because then she was in, like, hold for 3 days.
Yeah, so, like, that's crazy that that documentary came out, like, right after that. Like everything was so fresh for her.
Right.
Like if anyone does not remember how dire Britney's situation was in 2007 and 2008, Siobhan, do you remember that we lived together at the time?
Yes.
We had like a Britney Spears death pact that like we were so sure that Britney could seriously, we really thought she might die.
We weren't joking. This wasn't like something to be funny. I want to be clear, like anyone listening, this was like something serious.
We loved her and we were really afraid she might die. And we were like, okay, if this happens, like if we're at work, wherever we are, it doesn't matter. We have to come right home. And we had a plan for how we were going to like listen to her music and like watch all the videos. And we like, we really thought it might happen.
Yeah. Do you guys remember that around that same time that you guys were probably getting really worried for her too, there was a specific magazine. I don't remember if it was anything legitimate or if it was just like some trash mag like The Inquirer or something, but they actually published like her obituary. No. They wrote out this whole thing for her and put it out. And it was like, I believe it was around the time that she got put in the hospital.
Like when someone's really famous, like I know my dad works on the Today Show. And he's told me a few times, like when someone like really famous, like usually like presidents are like on their deathbed, they've always had like for years, like all those montages you see of like their lives and all of like those packages that they show for like, there's probably one for Britney, like really famous people.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like all ready to go. They're just waiting to fill in like an ending.
Yeah. And
like, that is
like an obituary for her that just, you know, was just making detail.
But then it's kind of like you have to think about what was going on at that time. It's not like she just went crazy out of nowhere. You know, she...
That way, if you didn't follow her.
I'm sure. Right. Like, it seems that way. And people rewrite the narrative as like, oh, she went crazy and shaved her head. Like, and now she needs to be, like, under watch, like, 24/7 because she can't do anything on her own. And that's just, like, it's so easy to say that. And so, like, I don't know, everyone...
But even if that is what happened, if she just went crazy, like, take a minute, like, all the things we were just talking about, like, imagine for a second, forget that she's, like, rich. Imagine for a second what it would actually be like to actually be Britney Spears.
And the paparazzi are, like, chasing you literally every single day. Like, the media has created this, like, crazy desire and need, like, to always have information on her. And, like, literally. She said, like, I didn't want to be home. I felt like a prisoner. But if I went out, it was like I was chased. Like, I just couldn't win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you remember you watched For the Record? And, In that documentary, that was actually one of the few questions that they asked her directly. They asked her, why did you shave your head? And her response was basically like, she wanted to feel free. And when the guy interviewing her asked her, why didn't you say that? Why didn't you give that as your explanation? She straight up said, I didn't think it was anyone's business.
Right. Like, yeah. She said, like, a lot of people do it. It's like they use that as a form of rebellion. And, like, think about it. Like, her hair is, like, something that makes her Britney Spears, like, those long blonde, like, hair. So for her to, like, shave that off, like, she, well, I guess at the time her hair was dark, but you know what I'm saying. Like,
nothing in her life she has control over. Like, she can take a razor to her head. That's something.
Right. And, like, she had just broken up with, like, Kevin Federline at this time. You know, she just had a failed marriage. She had two babies really close together. Like, no one thinks maybe postpartum depression had a part to do with this. Mm-hmm. Like, why mm-hmm. is that never in the conversation? Because she just had two babies right after the other.
It's funny you say that, because I read an article this week about all of this that I thought, I wish I remember where I read it, but it made a really good point. They were saying how, like, back in 2008, when all this was going on, she was, like, the butt of a lot of jokes. So, like, you would just, you know, all these, like, images of her, like, shaving her head and chasing the paparazzi with the umbrella. And it was, like, kind of a big joke. And now in 2019, like, we take mental health much more seriously and we talk about it much more openly than we did in 2008.
Right.
If we were having that same meltdown today, there wouldn't be a joke. It would be much more concern for her. In general.
Yes. Like, imagine, I mean, think of what we learned about Mariah last year when she came out as being bipolar, and she was someone that people had spent years making fun of and literally just kind of, like, condemning for any strange behavior that she displayed. And whenever she came out as bipolar, there was a huge positive response to that. But I really feel like if Britney would have done the same thing back in 2007, people would have just called her a loony and kept it moving and kept making fun of her. Like, it was a completely different time. I completely get what you're saying.
Yeah, people would just, like, been like, oh, whatever, or, like, not believed it. There's a lot of people who, like, don't believe in, like, mental health, like, diagnoses. Like, they're weird like that. And it's just, like, a shame that, like, no one ever thinks, like, just puts everything into perspective. And she did, like, lose her kids at one point during the year. And so, like, she didn't want to be at home because, like, the home reminded of her kids. And so she said, she was like, I wanted to go out driving everywhere. And, you know, she's not asking for these people to follow her. You know, she's just trying to live her life.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people either take into account, like, Britney's career was always very, and if you go back and you read some of the interviews that she did, like, very early on, whether it was in print or in person on video, she always talked about how whenever she moved to New York, because I think her mom is actually the one who, like, went against what her father wanted to do, which was just keep her in Louisiana. And her mom was the one who agreed to take her to New York and start getting dancing and acting classes. She wanted to be a dancer. And I'm not entirely sure, other than that stint on Star Search that we've seen from when she was a kid, I'm not sure that, like, music was ever, like, on Britney's radar, period.
Yeah,
like, I really think she wanted to be a dancer. And so...
When she first went to New York, like, as a kid.
Yeah, she was doing, like, shows and stuff, right?
She was in the show Ruthless, which is, like, a really funny kind of, like, offbeat musical, but it, like, stars a little girl, and she was the little girl. Like, she...
Yeah, and so... It's, like, it's wild how quickly, like, they got a hold of her and really molded her into something that she possibly never even wanted to be in the first place, and that was so much bigger than anything that she had any kind of interest in her and her family trying to handle. And I think that really probably like mentally scarred her, and it just, all of those effects just didn't start coming into play until the mid-2000s when things got really bad for her.
She was, it's true, she was so, she was one of the biggest stars in the world before she was old enough to really, like, have a choice in it.
To even, like, drink, have, like, she was even, even to have a drink, you think about, like, you're a teenager, and you're, like, such a huge star, and just, you're still, like, developing your brain, you know, and it's just having all these people around you, and whether they're good influences or bad influences, the way it could affect you, and yeah, maybe it doesn't come out for years, that happens all the time.
You don't have to be.
Yeah.
Think about what you were doing in your 20s. Would you want that all over, like, the news?
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, no. I mean, think about the fact that.
Oh, go ahead, Logan.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh.
Okay.
You good?
Yeah, we're good. Sorry. My thing cut out for a second. I think, like, your sentence just stopped halfway through. Cut that. what was I saying?
You wouldn't want all of your, like, business from your early 20s. Like, everyone is young and dumb, even without all the extra pressure she had, and we all get to do it in private.
Yeah, and we were talking about the VMAs performances. I know that's going to come up. And just think about the fact that whenever she went on stage and ripped that silver bodysuit off and did that performance of Oops, I Did It Again, that was, like, highly sexualized, highly adult. She wasn't even old enough to go to the bar and get a shot at that point.
I think she was 19.
Yeah, like, what in the world?
How old was she?
And remember the obsession about whether or not she was a virgin? And there was these, like, men on talk shows talking about whether or not she's a virgin. And it's like, dude, she's, like, like 18, maybe even younger.
Love, like, out her as far as that went. You know I love Justin Timberlake, but ugh.
Would you say? Yeah.
I love JT, but we can't pretend that wasn't super scummy after all of that speculation about her virginity to then have her, like, first love blow up her spot like that.
Right.
That alone is traumatic, I'm sure.
Yeah, it seemed like that was also, like, a really traumatic breakup. Mm-hmm. Whether or not it was, like, her fault, you know, which is a speculation.
Yeah.
How old I think it's interesting and really disgusting how, like, Justin, even still to this day, is, like, super shady towards her. I think, like, for him as a man to still reference her the way he does and, like, be joking with Madonna about how, like, you kissed my girlfriend and all this stuff that he said in interviews.
In the 2003 VMAs, when it's, like, the Britney, Christina, Madonna performance, like, he's, like, giving these weird mugs to the camera, like, he's, like, trying to be Jim on The Office or something, and it's, like, dude, just, like, be respectful.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not a huge fan of him.
I'm not, like, I don't like the way that whole thing.
Yeah, I don't like him as a person, but I'm not going to pretend that I don't enjoy him as a performer.
Right. He does have some bops.
Yeah.
What was the other story? Troy told another story about who was opening for him? Was it Mandy Moore? There was someone that, like, was, like, on tour with NSYNC, and Justin Timberlake, like, made a comment about her having, like, big feet or something. Like, something just, like, mean and stupid.
Oh, God.
And whoever it was, like, that, like, scarred me forever. I think it might have been Mandy Moore. Troy, hit us up on Instagram. Let me know if I'm wrong. I know you.
Yeah.
Poor Mandy.
I know. Bless her heart.
Did you guys, I found these, like, really cool, like, interesting videos before we were recording. And did you guys ever watch the Gimme More, the VMAs, like the rehearsal and actual performance side by side?
No.
Yes, I've seen both, yeah.
That was 2007?
Yes.
Yep.
It was actually kind of, like, shocking, like, how together she had it in the rehearsals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was, like,
remember watching that in our apartment?
Yes.
I remember we, like, were so excited for Britney's big comeback. I specifically remember we went to the Mexican place down the street and got food, and I can still picture us like sitting on our couch with like our takeout in our laps, like so excited to watch her. And when it was over, it was like stunned silence. Like we could not even lie to ourselves and like pretend that that was okay.
Well, it's like even the reactions in the crowd, like P. Diddy, he was like, what the fuck is going on? Like 50 Cent, they were all just like no reaction. Like they were shocked at what they were like seeing what was happening before their eyes and everything, because it's just, it's really upsetting to watch. Like I was not like looking forward to watching that again, because she does seem like confused, like dazed. Like it almost seems like she didn't have rehearsals. Like she didn't know what she was doing. And so then to watch, you know, the rehearsal, and not that like this choreography wasn't like breaking any new ground, that's for sure. Like it's pretty simple, basic choreography, but like she at least knew what, like she could tell, like she knew what the next steps were and she had it together. So it's kind of,
she wasn't like in it.
Yeah.
Something just went like very wrong with that performance. I don't know what happened. Like, I don't know what had happened prior to the show, but like, you know that that stuff is about to be a mess when the song starts and she straight up forgets to lip sync. It's Britney, bitch. Like she didn't even move her mouth. Like
she looked like she just couldn't wait for it to be over. That's like on, that's what I remember thinking, like you, like watching it again, like she just like wants it to be over and like doesn't want to be there.
Did you guys ever hear the story about after the performance, she apparently went backstage and she was having someone in production like replay her the footage of her performing just then, and she started crying and she started telling everybody that she looked like a pig?
I think I do remember hearing that.
Yeah, that was heartbreaking to me, because like the fact that she thinks she looks like a pig when like that if any of us could look like that,
she has one of the most beautiful bodies. She has one of the most beautiful bodies of all time.
She's always beautiful. Like, no matter how much of a mess she is, she's always gorgeous.
I know. She's gorgeous.
Body.
Because I don't even think, like, remembering the performance, like, I don't think she was out of shape.
No, she she just didn't have like a flat stomach, and like she had two kids. Like I think it was also the first time, you know, I think prior to that, I think the last time she performed was in 2003, and since then she had two kids. Your body's not the same, even if you are Britney Spears.
I wish my stomach was as fat as hers was in that performance, for God's sake.
Yeah. And for the record, when they, you know, because she's about to do the VMAs in 2008, and she's not performing, she won the three times. They were like, oh, they're playing all your performances. And she's like, did they play last year? And they're like, no, I don't think so. She's like, are you sure they didn't play last year? And you're like, no. She's like, okay, good.
Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. She was like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Do you remember the commercial? So in 2008, Russell Brand hosted the VMAs.
Uh-huh.
And do you remember the commercial they did? So it was this commercial for the VMAs, and it's Russell Brand, and it's Britney, and they're standing there, and she's like, so you're hosting the VMAs this year? And he's like, yep. You can be there? And she's like, yeah, yep, yeah. And they're standing there, and there's this huge elephant standing behind them, and they never mention the elephant.
Yes, I did. I watched that. I think that like popped up the other day.
I've ever seen for anything.
Well, what else are you supposed to do when it's like, you know, it was like the bomb heard around the world.
Address it, I thought.
And that's what, and then I watched. They had footage of, because they always talk about like, well, when they had the stand-in dancer, it was amazing. It was going to be incredible. And I watched it, and it was, you know, a very sexy performance, and it would have been like known as like a typical Britney sexy performance. It was, again, not breaking any ground for the VMAs or Britney in general. Like, it was just, like, had a little more complicated dance moves to it. But there was still a lot of prancing around on the stage, like, not doing anything and moving your arms. So, like, I don't know about that part, but...
if we can, like, talk about the conservatorship again for a second.
Yes, I have a lot of information on this.
I read today that it's routinely reassessed biannually. So you're telling me that over the last 11 years, there was no point where the court thought that she was healthy enough for them to lift the conservatorship?
So here's the thing. These conservatorships are for people who are severely disabled. The recent one that they had just happened, they said that just happened like a couple weeks ago, was so rare to have the conservatory in there in the courtroom because they're usually incapacitated. They're usually not able to speak. So Britney is on stage performing. They keep talking about in the conservatorship how they should keep using it because she's just getting more and more successful and just getting better and better. So why should we get rid of it? Because she only gets better. And it's just like...
I completely disagree.
Yeah.
Right. Like, she does not need to be under this. It's a lot of it. They say they keep it to keep outside influences away from Britney. And it is not meant to be, like, your security team. It's to help you... Like, it's for people, like I said, that are severely disabled, that are not able to take care of themselves. And there's, like... articles out there were saying Britney's okay, she's fine, like she gets to live her life under this conservatorship, she can do whatever she wants. Okay.
But what kind of a life is that? She's an adult, she's a mother.
She's been in it for over 10 years.
Stars in the world. Like, she can't, and you know what, at some point, it's like, this sounds horrible, but like, at what point do you have to say, like, we've been doing this for over 10 years, she seems okay. If she's not, we're going to find out the hard way. She's an adult.
Right. So what happened was during this year of 2007, her parents were already researching conservatorship. So when there was that hold, they eventually like basically took that as like their way. And at this time, she wasn't talking to her parents. Like, she was estranged from them. And they put her father in charge. And she was like an adult. As an adult, chose not to speak to her dad. And chose not to have him in whatever reason. We don't know. Like, we know he was an alcoholic. So who knows if it would like stem from that, where she was angry about that or something else. But they put this man like in charge of her that she like didn't want to have a relationship with at the time. And what she also has is a person that is like supposed to act in her best interest, which Samuel Ingham. So he, okay. Listen to this. Okay, here we go. Let me just cut this out, Gustav. And just let me get to the right part so you guys can like hear what how this all came about. All right. So on January 31st, 2008, Britney was transported to the psych ward at the UCLA Medical Center. Lynn and Jamie were not a party to taking Britney into custody. They did, however, see her hospitalization as a way to implement the conservatorship Jamie had already been researching. This is coming from the Britney's Gram website. They did kind of like an article, like, I want to give like credit to where credit's due, where like I'm getting this information from. They kind of did some research and got like an idea of like how this came about. So that first day, as Britney laid strapped to a hospital bed due to a series of boundary violations perpetrated against her, Britney was stripped of her rights as an adult American citizen.
What does that mean when it says a series of boundary violations?
I don't know. I'll have to look that up.
Britney, as a result of the boundary violations?
I guess like being like what they're instituting as being crazy and doing things that are like out of her best interest. Okay. That is what the best way I can think of it. So Andrew Wallet became conservator of her finances and Jamie became the conservator of her person. Britney herself did not originally want to appoint Wallet. While she was still in the hospital, she hired an attorney, Adam Streisand, to go up against him. In a hearing on February 4th, 2008, Streisand stated that Britney had a strong desire for Jamie to not be her conservator. Samuel Ingham, who at that time only had 15 minutes conversation with Britney, told the court that he didn't believe Britney had the mental wherewithal to hire her own lawyer. The commissioner on that case agreed with him, and Streisand was ejected from the courtroom. So the lawyer that she had picked was ejected from the courtroom, and she did not have her own lawyer. Ingham, again, to this day, remains Britney's advocate. That is what he's considered. If she wanted to be released from her conservatorship, he would have to help her and fight with her on her side, which he doesn't, and he isn't.
So no one is on her side.
Well, hopefully Lynn is now on her side. But okay, so on February 7th, Britney is released from the UCLA Medical Center. And so the conservatorship now starts. And so Jamie is her guardian, and Andrew Wallet in an article Tess wrote on the Britney's Gram website, he was instrumental in turning around a fortune that at the beginning of the conservatorship was nearly out of funds and cash equivalents. The estate and Britney were in total chaos with tremendous liabilities.
That always blows my mind when you hear things about like these ultra famous and successful people being broke. How does that happen? How is Britney Spears broke? Like they say Johnny Depp is broke now. How?
Right. And Nicolas Cage went through the same thing. Although Nicolas Cage, they actually had a whole bunch of stuff where he spent crazy money on. And actually Johnny Depp too. It seemed like he spent a lot of money.
Well, yeah, he owns an island. But like, I just don't understand. Like, so you're telling me that Britney at this time, if she wanted to go like when I, like if I'm like broke, right? I like have no money until I get paid. Britney like has no money.
Britney does not have control of her money. She probably has to ask Britney if she wants
to buy groceries. She has like an allowance. I know she can't do that, but say she wants to go buy something like normal like that. She has to like,
I believe she probably has an allowance. Yes.
I read this blurb on Twitter the other day that specifically had how much money her and her name actually bring in. And so thinking about this, okay, so this is her performing, her music, her albums, but also the countless other avenues through which her name makes money. So the perfume endorsements.
Yeah, that's
Fantasy.
Huge.
Yeah, Fantasy has been the best-selling women's perfume since it came out. That stuff is still popular, and it's been out for over 10 years now. So she has money coming in from so many different directions, and she makes a ton of money. But in this thing that I read on Twitter, I really wish I would have wrote this down because it's fascinating. The amount of money she makes versus the amount of money that she, Britney Spears herself, actually has to spend is like minuscule. It's like a normal person who is not a celebrity in any state in America, if you got a good enough job, you could make the kind of money that she's actually allowed to spend.
It's crazy that this is like shades of the boy band con and she's like making all of this money. This is like all stuff she's making for other people.
Mm-hmm. So where is that money going? Is it because of the conservatorship that she doesn't have?
Well, Andrew Wallett made $35,000 a month before he quit, which we'll get into later. But
yeah. There's a lot of Siobhan, do you have anything in your notes about Lou Taylor?
That name sounds familiar. It might be later on in my timeline.
Because
go ahead.
She's a big factor.
Who is the one that she wrote the letter about saying, like, who is this crazy woman contacting me? I don't want her around me. Is that Lou, the one that's like her manager?
Yes. Lou is the one who got in Jamie's ear and convinced Jamie and told him all of like the beginning information about how to get his daughter into the conservatorship. Britney is absolutely terrified of Lou Taylor. There are emails where Britney is emailing people and talking about Lou and talking about how she does not even like when Lou is around her babies because she doesn't like her. Lou apparently is some like crazy religious like exorcism person,
and Jessica, this like person that like Britney has clearly stated she doesn't want anything to do with. And if you noticed, if you remembered when she had posted that Instagram post when she said like all is well, and then underneath was like a longer Instagram post of her saying like, I didn't write these emails, Sam Lefty's making them up. And you're kind of probably like, what emails are they talking about? These are the emails we're talking about Lou Taylor. And it's kind of like, who would, like, Britney, it's like the first time she's speaking in a while, and she wants to, like, let everybody know these emails are fake. Like, I don't think that would be at the top of her mind, because there's all these speculation and lies anyway. Like, why are you signaling this lie out of all the lies?
It's weird. I've heard like crazy information about things that Lou has done. Like, I specifically remember reading a story about how there was a time when Britney was like scared out of her mind because Lou somehow got through the security gates at her house in Louisiana. And that was also, I think, why Britney developed even more of a distrust for her dad, because she found out that Jamie was the one who let Lou in the gates, and Lou was just like all of a sudden randomly walking around the house like she lived there, and like telling her kids like all this crazy like super religious stuff. And apparently like Lou straight up told Brittany that she was possessed by a demon.
Oh my God.
This woman is absolutely crazy. And it's funny, I don't know if you have this anything about this in your notes, but this is something that I found very fascinating. So we all know Courtney Love. She actually, whenever the Free Britney movement started, Courtney wrote, I think she was replying to something in an Instagram post where someone had asked her about how she felt about the Free Britney movement. And Courtney directly references Lou Taylor, because Courtney apparently is aware that Lou has a really, really bad reputation of getting in people's ears. And like, she, I guess Courtney's like personally aware that like a bunch of...
Well, Courtney Love got involved with Sam Lufty too.
Oh.
For another connection.
Maybe somebody asked Courtney Love, of all people, what she thinks about this.
Yeah. And I mean, it was really random, but I just found it fascinating that Courtney was like personally aware that Lou has a really bad habit of getting into celebrities' personal lives, and whenever she gets in there, she takes some of the money and she donates it to this church that she's apparently a part of.
Oof.
Like, yeah, it's absolutely crazy. Like, honestly, like, I know that Britney doesn't trust her dad, and I know that, like, I hope that her mom's on her side now, but honestly, like, I don't really care for Lynn either at this point, because I think she's been complacent in this whole thing when she could have reached out a hand to help her daughter. But like, out of all of these like dark characters that she is surrounded with, Lou, to me, from all of my research, is like really the one we need to like have our eyes on. And I really hope that now that the court is reviewing the conservatorship, that they will get Lou completely out of the picture, because that's the one that like Brittany has actually spoke out about and said that she is terrified of.
And it sounds like this judge, this new judge in the case, like, this is like their thing, that they know a lot about conservatorships. And like, I think this is hopefully a really good thing that they're like really reviewing the conservatorship and not just Brittany, you know, and like what's going on within people that are like affecting her life.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with her kids these days? She has them, right?
Yeah, and Kevin gets them too sometimes. I think they said it's like 3 days on, 3 days off or something like that.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, that's why she is trying to get...
What'd you say, Jess?
Can you just imagine, like, being 12 and 13 isn't hard enough. Now, also, Britney Spears is your mom.
And K-Fed's your dad.
Especially K-Fed's your dad. Oh, my God.
Sorry. It's hard, but we can't see each other. I was just going to say, I had a student a couple years ago who, like, his mom was hot. Like, his mom had, like, aged really well. Like, she hadn't had, like, a lot of work done. It wasn't, like, that fake look. But she was, like, this, like, beautiful blonde lady. He had, like, a hot mom. And his friends would, like, tease him about it. And he was, like, always, like, really embarrassed. Like, he was, like, he knew, you know?
Aw, I'm sure that is hard for a boy.
You know, beautiful. But he, like, would get so, like, you know, he was so uncomfortable. And, like, he was always so embarrassed when people would, like, talk about it. Like, can you imagine being a teenager and your mom is Britney Spears?
Well, that's what I was watching, Carpool Karaoke with James Corden. And James Corden asked, he's like, what do your boys think when they see your show? And she's like, they know that's like what I do. Like, she's like, you know, they're used to it. Like, it's just for a show. It's not like, you know, how I walk around my house.
It's not like their friends' moms.
Right. Right. And that's what they said, that like Britney wanted to oppose the conservatorship, but she was also worried about her kids. And she seemed to understand that the best thing to do to like see her kids again, and this is like back in 2008, like was to like go along with the conservatorship. Mm. Which I totally believe, like that's probably the main number one reason that she stays in it and doesn't like oppose it too hard. It's because she's worried what's going to happen, and I'm sure that's been threatened to her, that like if she ends it, like they're going to make it a problem.
Have you read anything about the fact that Britney apparently is not allowed to have a smartphone?
Yeah.
We were talking about this.
She can make millions of dollars for other people, but she's not well enough to have a smartphone. She's okay. That disturbs me so much that you think this person who's too unhealthy to have a smartphone is healthy enough to like be trotted out on stage every night. Like, it just seems weird and like ludicrous. Like, those don't correlate.
Yeah.
And then it's also like, obviously then all those posts that she puts on Instagram aren't her, like, or she's not writing them.
No. I don't agree. Yeah, for real. Her Instagram is like legitimately, I think, set up by her team to like create a very specific image of her. But you know that she's not the one posting it because she doesn't have a freaking smartphone. Like, she's not allowed.
Exactly. And it's like, I'm sure if it was like Sam doing it for her, they would like, you don't think they would stop him if they didn't want him to do it? Or like, they wouldn't take down the post like once they went up?
Yeah, it's absolutely bizarre. And I also think it's funny how, like, now, ever since the Free Britney movement started, they're, like, very specifically, like, all over her Instagram account, just, like, trying to act like nothing is happening. And there was even, I think, this happened, like, last week or something. They posted a video, I think, like, and they acted like it was a new video of her apparently... She was dancing to a Michael Jackson song.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but that video was actually from last year. Like, that's not new. And whoever is in control of her Instagram is posting that now to make it look like, oh, everything's fine. Like, ignore
right.
those pictures
so I have
you saw
actually
where
a timeline
she's coming.
Of like her Instagram. Because I think you are totally on the money about like what they're doing. Because it's like throughout December and before, she was like posting normal stuff, like, you know, like how her modeling, like she was like modeling her shoes. She was doing Christmas carols with the boys, like
she's just like
the skits with her boyfriend. She was doing a lot of like cute little things like she normally does. That's why we love Britney and her gram.
Wait, what,
Jess?
She was doing skits with her boyfriend?
Yeah, you'll have to go back and look. Like, she always does, like, every once in a while, she does, like, a cute little, like, 5-second skit where he's, like, I don't know. It was about, like, going to get something to eat, and she, like, runs really quickly away. I don't know. It's a Britney skit. It's a Britney original. Like, what do you want? Okay.
I'd love to come on stage and make a little one act of Britney skits.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing.
I have a new project for when I'm not working in the fall.
Oh, Jessica, that is such a good idea. I would like to be in that. So January 4th is when Britney announces that she cannot continue the Domination like show. They were 2/3 of the way into rehearsals at this time. And she said it was due to her father's health and her family. This show, Dominion, was going to make the estate $500,000 a show. Just wanted you guys to sink that in. $500,000 a show. January 12th, she does a post about the 20th anniversary of Baby One More Time, which is a very general post. Like, obviously, it was not her. March 6th is when Andrew Wallet has resigned from the conservatorship. Britney allegedly went into the hospital around March 26th. And April 3rd is when she posted that she's taking some me time. So she didn't post from the January 12th till like April 3rd. That was like the first time she posted. And it's speculated that really she went into the hospital in January against her will. And that's why all the posts stopped up until that point. And I think, so an hour after she did the me time post was done, TMZ announced that Britney had checked herself into a mental facility a week prior.
I really think, speaking of TMZ, I'm really like getting the impression, like, the further this goes on, that Jamie has TMZ on a payroll because
it's
always like very convenient that like whatever Team Britney seems to want to be known about her or whatever photographs they want to be taken of her, it's always TMZ who ends up getting it.
Yeah.
Because do you guys remember when those pictures came out and we were all freaking out because it looked like 2007 Britney again when she was coming out of that hotel and her hair was like terribly matted and she looked like she'd been crying, she looked angry, like those pictures were awful. And I got information from someone that apparently, like, it is illegal for paparazzi to go into like a private lot like that unless they're specifically allowed by someone to come in. And so what I'm thinking is when the whole Free Britney movement started up and it was trending on Twitter and everybody was catching on to it, and like that stuff blew up really quickly. Like before you knew it, they were talking about it on Entertainment Tonight and, you know, people were really making it a thing. And then all of a sudden when everyone is thinking, oh, she's being held in the hospital against her will, here comes TMZ with these pictures where they're trying to make it look like, oh, she's fine, here she is,
like happy, getting in the car. They call her like happy and like well rested looking in these pictures, and they don't look like Britney. They look like, yeah, you're right. She looks like she had just been crying or like looked distressed and like trying to look okay, like trying to put on like a brave face because she knew that all these cameras were out there.
Yeah, and like not even to shade her in the slightest, but like you know something is up with Britney Spears when her hair looks like that. It always has that like awful
part of what we love her for though too. Tracks. We love that we
have
tracks because it makes her a human being.
Yeah.
Yes, for real. And every time you see those freaking tracks, like you know something's up. Like we're not being told something.
So, all right. This timeline, so April 3rd, Britney posts the Me Time post. Well, someone in her camp posts this. April 4th, Britney's Gram, who started the Free Britney movement or really got it going, they put out an episode where they say they believe she's been held against her will, that her mid-20s and early 30s have been stolen from her. They don't think she's been posting anything because there's no emojis in the post. That's like one of their big things. They think that she probably recently had finally like had enough and kind of like snapped after being pretty much like say she's been in captivity for a decade and she's been recently like rebelling and telling everyone to fuck off. And that's why they've been putting her back into like hospitals because she's angry and telling people like, I don't want this anymore. Leave me alone. And they think she's crazy for it. So about less than 2 weeks later, they released their episode called Free Britney, and they receive an anonymous call from a source who confirmed they were able to confirm worked as a paralegal in the office that handled Britney's conservatorship. And he calls what's going on disturbing, and that's when he pretty much says that Britney's really been in the hospital since January and that like Larry Rudolph was behind it, like obviously her parents were behind it, or her father. And everybody's kind of lying to what's going on in the public. Hmm. Now, I can bring up, I wrote down where the call, like where it is in like there in the episode, if you want me to play it.
Yeah, definitely play a little bit of it because yeah, you can even hear like in this dude's voice, like he knows that he should not be talking about this. He's nervous about it. But the fact that he
recently, like quit or something, maybe.
Yeah, and the fact that he, I guess we need to put the word allegedly in here.
Right.
The fact that he allegedly is who he says he is and has kind of like witnessed the going down of this nonsense and feels that it's so nonsensical and messed up to speak out about it, I think that says a lot.
Yeah, okay, hold on. And they claim that they were able to verify he is who he says he is.
Really?
Wow.
That's what they claim, all right.
An attorney that worked with Britney's conservatorship. I am no longer with them. And what is happening is basically, Britney was in rehearsals for Domination. They came to Jamie's attention, Jamie Spears, that Britney was not taking her medication as prescribed. She was missing a lot of doses and just full on not taking them. So they got her to the doctor. The doctor said, okay, if you don't want these medications, let's get you on a new one. But she refused to take the new one. Jamie said, either you take this medication or the show's off and I'm pulling my support and you can't do it. Brittany did not follow Jamie's instructions, and so he was true to his word. He pulled the show. He verbatim said, blame it on my illness. And that's when we get early January Instagram. Fast forward a couple days, Brittany's still not following through with her medication. And as you guys have mentioned, she is seen with Sam driving. A big no-no on, it's a big rule that she broke. Brittany has been in the mental facility since mid-January. Of course, the statement yesterday said she entered last week. That is not true. She's been in there since mid-January. And there is no timeline. Granted, I haven't worked at the company or at the firm for about a little over 2 weeks now, but there is no end particularly in sight for this day at the mental facility to end. She did not want to go. I'm just a paralegal. I haven't had any contact with her, but from what I understand, this was not a decision she made at all.
And that's where it cuts off. Oh my.
And that's where it cuts off. So.
That's what I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Isn't that just wild? Like, I remember when I heard that, my jaw dropped. I was like, oh my God. Like, literally, this has been going on for a decade, and it is still this bad. Like, they put her in a mental facility because she did not take some pills, and she went for a drive with her boyfriend.
And 5 days later is when they did those photos of her leaving on Easter Sunday. Basically to make, like, show everybody she's fine when it's, you can tell in the photos she's not fine.
Deeply shook right now.
Now, I think at 25, there's another section where I think I wrote this time down, so it must be something else, too, that they got. So let me just play this, and we can comment on it.
It was very startling. So, you know, that statement about how she'll face irreparable harm was very strange. And that didn't really jive with him getting money, but we just couldn't, you know, it was like hard to know where to put that. So I'm just gonna, this is a straight quote from the source right here. So Wallet, the reason everything happened so fast is because he doesn't want any sort of liability with this whole fiasco.
This is the lawyer quitting.
On Brittany's side, but he's definitely was super uncomfortable with her being forced into a mental institution. It got too messy for him. It was like, I've done all I can do with this and I'm not about to be disbarred. So he was he saw what was going on was so intense that he was scared he was gonna get disbarred.
So that's Andrew Wallet, the guy who he quit in March.
Wow.
He's been he was the guy making $35,000 a month, and he has literally been at the conservatorship since day one.
Are we allowed to play that clip of them talking?
I don't know. Maybe we should cut that out. So basically, I'll just re-say. Gustav, let's cut that out of them talking.
Keep the part of the recording of the guy.
Yeah, because I think we could, I don't know, I think we could.
That's like that. Out on the internet, right? For
people. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, recap what they said.
Okay. So basically, as I said before, March 6th, Andrew Wallet, who he's been making $35,000 a month. He recently got a raise at the end of 2018. He's been one of the conservatorship's lawyers, the main one doing the financials since basically day one. He quit. And he was basically said it was like detrimental to Brittany if he like continued on, and pretty much this paralegal went on to tell the women of Britney's gram that it was basically going to be a liability, and he was worried that he was going to get disbarred what they were doing, which was basically, like, you know, holding Britney against her will. And there was just too much going on that he did not feel comfortable continuing on as a conservator in that situation.
Wow.
Wow. I just, this is so crazy. And I think that they're doing, like, a really, really good job as far as, like, keeping the public's nose out of it now. Because I think everything really, like, went into overdrive, and it really made them go, oh shit, like, this is not good, whenever, like, actual media outlets that the general public sees on TV started reporting about this movement.
Yeah, because, like, it's one thing of a podcast, like, we're just a podcast. It's one thing if we say things, but if the media starts, like, picking it up, you know, it's gaining momentum. Like, people are actually going to start looking further into it and wanting answers and wanting to know what's going on.
Well, and even when you have other celebrities speaking out about it, like, we already mentioned Courtney Love wrote a post about it. I think Miley Rose Cyrus McGowan recently, said something, like, about it.
Didn't Miley Cyrus?
Yeah, she was
through Britney.
Yeah, she was on stage, and she straight up, and that's particularly interesting to me that Miley talked about it, because this is something else I was going to bring up. I remember, do you guys remember when Miley came out with the Bangers album, and that was, like, her whole crazy era? And there was a song that she did with Britney on that album.
Yes, I do.
And I specifically remember there was an interview that Miley did, and I really wish that I could have found it so that I could, like, quote her verbatim. But they asked her about Britney, and they just asked her about her legacy and, you know, the general questions about, like, how do you feel about having such an icon on your song? Like, isn't this amazing? And she basically, like, gave the complete opposite answer than I expected her to give. And what she basically said, like, was like, you know, honestly, at this point, I just want Britney to be happy. Like, she's such a cool person, but, like, I kind of feel like she doesn't really want to do this anymore, and I just really hope she finds her way. And, like, I thought that was, like, bizarre that that was actually something that, like, Miley said.
It wasn't, like, canned answer, like, oh my god, it was so great, like, she's the best, like, we had so much fun. Like, that was really interesting. She didn't give that stereotypical Hollywood canned answer for that.
Yeah, no, she straight up was like, I just want her to be happy. Which, I mean, I can only guess can allude to the fact that when Miley met her, and, you know, the few times she's been around her, like, she's probably implying that Britney is not a very happy person, and that she lives a really messed up life.
Logan, tell Jessica and our listeners the thing you told me once, the story about Mariah trying to reach out to Britney.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so... That's funny. I hadn't planned on bringing it up. Thank you.
Believe me, I was planning to bring up Mariah if I could. Just so you know, Logan and I love to talk about Mariah Carey, Taylor Swift, and Britney Spears.
Yes. Yes. That is our relationship to a T right here. We love it.
Pretty much.
So anyway, I had heard this story from someone who had apparently heard that whenever Britney was going through her breakdown and everything, that Mariah was actually one of the very few people who reached out to her and actually, like, sent her a letter and said a bunch of nice things and spoke, you know, really nice words of encouragement to her. And I always found that very fascinating, because I think when you and I talked about it, Siobhan, we were mentioning that, like, they, the two of them, more than anyone, would know what each other have been through, because they are both two of the, you can say, female pop stars, even though Mariah is far more R&B, but they're two of, like, the biggest female musicians who have
artists, two big went, yeah, artists that, like, show up in the, you know, top.
Yeah, who are, like, all over everywhere, who really suffered because of their careers and went through, you know, what the public loves to call the breakdown, and they get all dramatic about it. And, you know, it was all for kind of the same reasons, because they got surrounded by bad people who were taking advantage of them and taking advantage of their money and taking advantage of their fame.
Like, she always talks about, like, the Tommy Mottola years as being kind of, like, watched and, like, felt like she couldn't be her own person and do her own thing.
Well, yeah, Mariah, yes. one time was like the same level of famous. I always remember my dad saying when Mariah was on Saturday Night Live, and I remember like asking him like just like what she was like because she's Mariah Carey. And I remember him saying that she was like so sweet and like so gracious and so like wonderful with everyone. But when it was showtime and all of a sudden there were like all these people swarming around her, that you just saw her kind of like glaze over and kind of like leave her body and just let everything kind of like happen. And it just always made me sad. And you know what? Matt Shell said something similar about her when she played at the Borgata. We have a friend who's a stagehand at the Borgata in Atlantic City. And he told a very similar story about seeing Mariah backstage at the Borgata.
And like same thing. She was like super gracious and like, but
sweet, super gracious, but then just kind of glazed over when it was showtime.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very much so a thing with the both of them. I think that, and I like that about her because if you guys have ever noticed, like, you know, everyone loves to play like the I don't know her thing with Mariah. Yeah. And especially whenever she goes on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, he always plays this game with her where he'll basically like name off a bunch of different female celebrities that he knows damn well she's come in contact with.
Right.
And like he'll basically ask her to respond to it. And like anytime she's ever been asked about Britney, she will straight up say, I love Britney. Aww. And that's really interesting to me because like Mariah doesn't say that about many other female artists.
That's very true.
Yeah, she'll like say that she doesn't have a problem with somebody, but I always found it very like heartwarming that Britney, out of everyone, was the one who she was like, no, I love her. Like, she's so sweet.
She really seems like she is. When she was on, I loved her on The X Factor, when she was one of, like, the mentors and judges on The X Factor.
Mm-hmm.
I actually didn't watch that season when she did that.
She was the only season I ever watched.
Oh, my God. We're bringing up X Factor. Guys, okay, so back on the conservatorship, I don't know if you guys read up about this at all, but do you remember, like, okay, so the X Factor happened during the Femme Fatale album era, so the album that came after Circus. Mm-hmm. And okay, so like this was the time when supposedly like Britney was back. She had just come off a huge success with Circus, and Femme Fatale was this great album, and you know, she had Till the World Ends and I Wanna Go and Hold It Against Me, like had all these great songs out, and everything seemed to be like great again in the world of Britney Spears. And then she goes on X Factor, and you really on that show, you know, she was very enjoyable on that show. I completely agree with you. But I also think that on that show, you really get to see like her anxiety was just like always on edge on that show.
Are you talking more about American Idol? Wasn't she on American Idol?
It was X Factor.
No, it was X Factor.
Oh, okay. See.
Yeah. Yeah. And you could always just see that she was just very timid. She was very, very shy. And it's interesting that like they chose to put her on that platform at that time, because if you're a huge Britney fan, like I used to be back in the day, I still love her, of course. I'm just not the kind of fan that I used to be. Femme Fatale era was where things started to get really messy again, because there were a lot of interviews where that is why like people started calling her like a robot, because she was just clearly like so medicated and so messed up that like she could barely even respond to people's questions. She wasn't smiling. She acted just like completely disinterested from everything. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but there's this like really awful, like tragic clip of her. It's like this little promo video of her announcing that she's going to be on Good Morning America. And it doesn't even sound like her. It's such a weird, like kind of like eerie video, because she like walks up to the camera and she's like, hello, America. This is Britney Spears. I'm so excited to announce that I'll be performing on Good Morning America. And it's just like the most like robotic, like medicated sounding talking. And she's just like staring with these like dead eyes into the camera. And it's like, yeah, it's really, really bizarre. The X Factor happened like at that time.
Just, like, I think she just doesn't want to be there. Like, I think, well, they talk about like, well, she wants to do these tours, she wants to do these shows, but they were pushing her to do way too much. If like she's really as sick as they want us to believe, then like why were you pushing her to do all these different things? And like, even though I know like she gets like a bunch of weeks off, like goes weeks on, goes weeks off with the Vegas shows and everything, it's still like the world tours,
like the X Factor, all these things that puts pressure on her. It's like, but yet you're still saying she's too sick to live her own life and be in charge of her own life. But like, yeah, all of this was okay to do. Like, this is like, I think it pushed her over the edge, you know?
If Brittany, mm-hmm, like,
yeah, because
her way, if she could like just have what she wanted, what do you think that she would do?
She said, and for the record, that she wants to be on an island with her sons where nobody can bother her.
Straight up.
Logan, don't you live on an island?
I do. She can come live with me. I'll take Britt.
Yeah. You, yes, keep her safe.
Yes. Her boys can come too. They can be friends with my brother. They're about the same age.
Oh, see, there you go. Brittany, contact Logan. Find a way. Find a way to contact us.
Come on, Britt,
so
please.
Did you see like, the news? Oh, so, and also, you're like, what is it, North Carolina you're in or South Carolina?
North Carolina.
North Carolina. So that's not one of the states that Jamie is now trying to make sure he's named as a conservator, because now it's like he's afraid. That's the new thing that came out today. It's May 22nd. That Jamie filed these motions where he wants to be named the conservator in, along with Florida, Hawaii, and Louisiana, because he's afraid that she can leave the state. And then I guess he's only her conservator in California.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also like, it's also shady that this is happening now after like being her conservator for like 11 years. Like, why are you making all these motions now? Right when this movement's starting, where people are trying to like, and she's also making a grab for like her freedom and wants more freedom. Like,
this is exactly what I talked about on Twitter. I think, Siobhan, you actually liked those tweets that I made, like a whole thread talking about, yeah, what she's going through. And I do not think that, I mean, obviously, like, it's wishful thinking as a fan to think that she's going to make it out of this okay and she's going to be happy and everything's going to be great again and everything we've always wanted for her, she's going to have it. But I think people are like completely failing to realize like what could actually happen here. And especially now that Jamie's doing what he's doing with what you just mentioned, and the fact that Larry Rudolph, who has been her manager since the beginning, has apparently completely like gone off the rails and is doing things no manager should ever do. And he's out here saying things like, I don't think Brittany will ever perform again.
After like, and then in the same conversation, he's like, I haven't spoken to her in a couple months, but she'll never perform, yeah, again. It's like, you haven't talked to her. She sounds like she kind of cut you out, dude. Like, so, and then she showed up, yeah, on, they asked her point blank and she said, yes. You know, they asked, are you going to perform again? Yes, of course.
Yeah, it's insane because like, and that's what I keep like trying to drill into people's heads. Like, because I mean, we watched what Mariah went through whenever she ended up with a really, really bad person in her life with Bella Biloxnikov.
Oh, hate her.
And all of the things that, you know, were happening in that picture and how like literally her career was almost ruined. And, you know, even after Mariah got rid of Bella, that stuff is still going on. I feel like every month there's some new story of Bella trying to sue someone and claim that she is owed something and she's threatening to write all these tell-alls and everything. And like, I really wish that like people would understand that in the case of Britney, I mean, at least that was only like 3 or 4 years of Mariah's career that she had to deal with that. And now she's going to have to deal with the repercussions of it for a little while. This, right, has been going on in Britney's life for literally a decade, over a decade now. And she's had these people in her life and in her money and in her business for so long now that nothing about this is going to be simple. It's going to be very dangerous. And people have got to remember, this is a ship that has been on the water for a very long time. And if she sinks it, they're not going to go down without her. Period.
Right. Because on May 10th, when they did the courtroom case with, where Lynn was there and like Brittany came and Jamie was there and Brittany had like some of her requests, one of them being a smartphone, which most people have, like my like 11-year-old niece has one and like, mm-hmm, children even younger have them. Like, but
moms have them, I'm sure.
Right. But Brittany can't be trusted with one, but a 5-year-old can be trusted with one, but Brittany can't.
don't get Brittany a phone. God knows what's going to happen to her if she has one. And the judge didn't request any of these, like, not that, like, I was really expecting to be like, okay, here's a phone, like, that day, because I'm sure, like I said, they want to evaluate and see. But it's still just crazy she has to ask for that after 10 years. To even ask a judge, can I have an iPhone? That's just insane to me. You're 37.
So you mentioned to me, we're getting into, like, over an hour now. You mentioned to me the other day that you saw some parallels between what's going on with Britney and what was sort of happening towards the end of Marilyn Monroe's life.
Yes. Marilyn Monroe also had her doctor, Dr. Greenson, and he pretty much had control, like, over her life too. Marilyn also was involuntarily hospitalized. She had no way of contacting people. She was writing letters out to people. It was the only way she could contact them because they wouldn't let her on a phone. And they kind of lied to her about where she was going. She thought she was going somewhere more like restful. And it turned out to be a very serious psychiatric clinic with like padded cells. And she did not need to be there. She didn't belong there. Not saying that she didn't have her problems, but she certainly did not need to be in a place like that. And she finally got word out to like Joe DiMaggio finally, and they weren't even together at this point. And he literally came into the hospital and like pretty much dragged her out and said, "This is my wife. I'm taking her. Like, you can't keep her in here." I think Dr. Marion Chris did that to her, and she never spoke to that doctor again. Like, luckily, like, thank God. But that's something that happened to her. And Brittany and Marilyn also had that problem where she was talked about it, where she was in here and the psychiatric ward, and nobody would listen to her because everybody said, "Oh, well, she's crazy. Like, if you're in this ward, you must be crazy." So I can only think that Brittany must go through the same thing where she's just screaming like for help and like for someone to listen to her. And just like Marilyn, nobody wants to listen to her because it's just like, you're crazy. They just kind of write you off. And your reactions to that might seem crazy, and it kind of almost justifies what people are thinking or saying.
It's so vicious. You know?
But like I said, towards the very end of Marilyn Monroe's life, yeah, like the people around her were pretty much controlling her life, controlling her money, telling her where to live, what to do. And she was the same thing. She was the one making the money. She was like bringing the money in. And I wanted to research that even more because I had just read a book about it not too long ago that went back, because it was all about like Joe DiMaggio and Marilyn Monroe's relationship and like how he was always kind of like the one to come and try to save her and like pull her out of these things. But just did not. And Marilyn was 36.
Yeah, there's definitely like a lot of parallels there. I have another friend on Twitter. I think you follow him too, Siobhan. His name's Tim Tincher.
Oh, I love Tim. And
yeah, so shout out to Tim. Tim and I were talking one time. Yes, we love Tim. We were talking about how I like had kind of reached a point in my fandom of Britney, like within the past few years, when I wasn't even comfortable really like being a huge fan of hers anymore, because I just kind of felt like I was supporting a cash cow. And that kind of like plays into what you were just saying about Marilyn. Yeah. And like, I don't, as much as I love the girl and like, I want to support her and I want to support this woman who's been a part of my life, literally for most of my life, who I've always loved to see and hear about. I almost kind of like, I don't want to put money into the pockets of the people who are doing this to her, because I just feel like it's all going to them.
Right. And a lot of people have kind of made a call for that, almost like, even though we love Britney, to like kind of boycott like anything that will put money into their pockets until it's guaranteed that she has control of that money. Like, we don't know what money she sees. Like, yeah, she lives a great life in the way of, I'm sure she has a beautiful home, like multiple beautiful homes. Like, she probably took a private plane to her Las Vegas show because she didn't live in Vegas. All those things, but you're not free. She can't like hang out with her friends. And for the record, Logan, remember when she goes out to dinner with like a bunch of people her age and she says she can't, it's almost like hurts to do those things because she knows it's not like going to last, or it's just like a one-time thing.
Yeah, since she was so cute, because remember there was that one dancer that she had met at the show that she had seen, and she was interested in him.
Right.
And she was so cute and so nervous about, like, seeing him. And I just thought that was, like, oh my God, like, for someone of her impact and her legacy to, like, be in that kind of position to where, like, she feels like she can't even be happy about something because she knows it's going to be stripped away. That's right. Heartbreaking.
It is. That's what was so, and that, again, for the record, is 2008. It's the year that it started, and this is how mm-hmm. she already was feeling.
Yeah, another quick point that I want to bring up about For the Record, we were talking about how apparently she's not trusted to, like, drive and have control of her finances and have an iPhone, whatever, whatever. But, like, if anything, I think Britney's actually very smart with her money, because do you remember the scene in For the Record whenever she went shopping with that friend of hers and they were picking out the dresses and she specifically looks at a dress and she's like, oh, no, that's too expensive.
But wasn't she already on her allowance then, though? This is 2008? She might have been saying that because she only had so much money that she was given or, like, allocated to spend on clothes.
Yeah, it very well may could have been that, but, like, even just to, like, hear her say that and to be able to have, like, developed that mentality, because even if it's not meaning that she's good with money, it means that she's, like, very good with her conservatorship, and at least she, like, follows the rules, so there would have been no reason for her to be in it for 10 more years, you know?
Right.
Like, imagine being Britney Spears and being like, oh, I can't have that, it's too expensive. What?
I wonder how much it was.
Right? I mean, my God. It was a Sarah Jessica Parker dress. That's one of the cutest scenes in the documentary, because she's trying to convince her friend that it's a cute dress. And her friend is like, you look like Sarah Jessica Parker. And and Brittany's like, I want to look like Sarah Jessica Parker. She's so cute. And then she, like, puts on a different one and she's like, hello, my name is Matilda, because she thinks she looks like a teacher. She's like, she's so cute and so funny. And, like, literally, she's just a dork.
I wish I didn't dislike Jamie so much right now, because the scene where she imitates him, like, on the set of the Womanizer video is so funny.
Oh my God, I forgot about
Britney
that.
Britney G, sit your ass down.
Like, womanizer, womanizer, womanizer.
Yeah. Britney G, get your ass in here. Sit down. And then, like, walks away for an hour. Making, what is it? Cheese grits. Making my baby some cheese grits. Every good Southern girl needs some cheese grits.
Yeah. She was like, she's loved him since she was a little girl. I ain't got no real cheese with me, so I'm gonna use her mama's method of put some Velveeta in it.
Oh my God. Then that other line, my friends and I watched this recently. We always said the other line. It's like, I'm tired of waiting, daddy.
Yeah. She's like, I'm the most impatient person alive. I think it's really funny too. Oh my gosh, I feel like this is going to be so long, but I have to bring this up as well. Did you find it funny, Siobhan? Like, listen to the way that Britney sounds now whenever she speaks in interviews and stuff, and the way that she sounded in For the Record, and how much stronger her accent was back then.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. You do hear it a lot more back then.
Oh my God, literally, just whenever you get the chance to watch For the Record, Britney sounds like a freaking bumpkin the entire time.
I'll hear it again on YouTube tomorrow.
Oh, you have to. Yeah, it's definitely on YouTube. That's how I watched it.
I looked today. I couldn't find it.
Yeah, it has, like, weird, like, subtitles on it, but it's only an hour too, so, like, it's definitely worth watching.
Yeah, like, the Southern girl in her comes out fully. Like, there's a part where she's talking about, you know, everything that she went through, and she straight up, like, I don't even know, like, I grew up in North Carolina, and I don't even know if I can sound as country as she sounded, because she said something, and she's like, she goes, what the hell was I thinking? I should have just taken my babies to Louisiana. I mean, I'm a smart person. Like, it's literally just, like, the most thick, like, country accent, and it's crazy to me now that, like, she doesn't sound like that anymore. Like, what in the world?
I know. I guess it's, like, almost like that's part of her personality too. That's, like, another thing that's kind of, like, missing from that personality we love.
Yeah. I feel like almost like what we saw in For the Record is who she really is. Like, that is, at the end of the day, when she's surrounded by her family and her boys, and
I know, like, I would love for them to do another documentary where she can just, like, speak freely. Because apparently, did you hear, I don't know what talk show it was, but you could, so, you know, like, talk shows, if anyone's ever, like, been to one, or I'm sure you can imagine,
they're filmed in advance, like that day. And then, like, you know, it's like pretty much like several hours later, they'll air on the show if it's like one of those like nighttime talk shows. And she was on one, and the people in the audience said that they had been like, they asked her about her conservatorship, and she like answered it. And like, they said something about like, oh, going out with your friends. And she's like, oh, well, it's not that fun when you have to like get permission all the time and like get permission for who you hang out with. And when that talk show aired, they had cut it out. Like, her people, like, made her, like, made
them. Who would Brittany's friends be? She probably doesn't have, like, real friends.
It's probably, like, they said it's all, like, pre-approved friends that are, like, won't be a threat. But a lot of people have come out and said that, like, a lot of, like, the fandom are going back to these, like, people being like, what, do something. And they're like, you know, I was cut out, or, like, I couldn't stick around, like, you know. So they've, like, been cutting people out. Like, it seems, you know.
Oh, can I? Okay, before we wrap this up, I don't know when you guys are planning to do that. And I have one thing that I specifically had on my notes that I really wanted to bring up to you guys. And if you guys haven't heard this, it's all over YouTube. There's many, many ways you can hear it, or at least part of it, because it still has yet to leak to this day. There is a song called Rebellion that Britney apparently recorded back in 2006, and it was supposed to be for what became the Blackout album. I remember, like, back in the day, whenever I was like on my Britney fandom high, like circus, you know, everything was coming back and everything, me and the rest of the fandom were absolutely obsessed with this song leaking, because it is so fascinating. This song literally is, it has this crazy dark beat to it. It's a demo, but like, she wrote the song herself, apparently. The guy who produced it has
Britney demos from Blackout. I actually had a lot of them, but this one I can't think of off the top of my head. And I had a lot of
it. We'll throw it on the end of the episode.
Oh, good idea.
It's borderline frightening, because it's literally like her talking about, guys, the lyrics are literally, be wary of others, the ones closest to you, the poison they feed you, and the voodoo that they do. And it's literally just like her calling out everyone around her and like sending a warning to like other people, I guess, and like also kind of like expressing what she's really going through. And the chorus of the song is something about, you'll find it in rebellion, because your soul you're not selling, because you're rebellion. Like, it's fascinating. And I specifically remember, originally there was only like snippets of the song available online, and obviously because the lyrics were so like dark and interesting, us fans were like gravitated towards it. And the guy who produced the song, he used to have a blog, and we would like be on his blog all the time, like begging him to leak the final version of the song, because he kept claiming that he had it, but he was afraid that if he released it, he would get in trouble. And like, fans would like send him money and try to get him to leak the song, because like, yeah, because literally, like, when you hear it, you're gonna be like, holy crap, because it's like, as far as her like musically talking about the things that she goes through, that song is bizarre.
Well, it's interesting that you say all that, because when you think about back to her posting that, the old post of her dancing to Scream by like Michael and Janet Jackson, Britney's Graham, not to like copy what they did, but they also talked about what the lyrics of that song said, because they said, okay, obviously Britney doesn't like post on her own, so whether it was her or her people, it's just a weird choice. It was a weird choice if it was her people, because this is like the lyrics. Tired of injustice, tired of the schemes, your lies are disgusting, what does it mean? Kicking me down, I gotta get up, as jacked as it sounds, the whole system sucks. Peek in the shadow, come into the light, you tell me I'm wrong, then you better prove you're right. You're selling out souls, but I care about mine. I've got to get stronger, and I won't give up the fight. And that goes on. So whether it was like, if she does have any control over like her, what she can post, like, it's, I think almost like she's, you could almost say like, are you trying to give a message out there? Yeah. But then again, yeah, you kind of know that Britney doesn't really post a lot of her own stuff of recent. So it's weird.
It's really weird. It's very strange, because that moment that you just referenced with the Scream and her dancing to it, and then Rebellion, and then there was another song called Mona Lisa. Have you guys heard that song?
I know about all about, like, because Mona Lisa was supposed to be a whole album.
Yes, it was supposed to be on an album that was called Original Doll. And this is another right. thing that's just like legend in the Britney fandom, because it was the album that was supposed to come after In the Zone. And the song did get released. you guys remember Britney and Kevin Chaotic, the show, right?
Of course.
How could we forget? So along with that show, they released an EP of, I think, 3 songs that was supposed to kind of be like the soundtrack to the show. And Mona Lisa was one of the songs that was on there. And that song, I think, if I'm correct, if she didn't write it by herself, she's at least like the lead writer on it, and it only has like a co-writer or something. And it's her talking about how she feels like she's been cloned, and how she's telling the story of Mona Lisa and how she suddenly fell and she's the original and people are trying to like take away what's hers.
Didn't she use Mona Lisa as like her director name when she did Do Something? Didn't she direct a Do Something video and she used the name Mona Lisa?
Yes, because Do Something, I think, was supposed to be on Original Doll. And then they ended up sticking it on that Greatest Hits album.
Right.
Well, free Britney, guys.
Yes, hashtag free Britney. I'm really interested to see like what's going to happen in the next couple of months when all of this, you know, comes to fruition. And
because I didn't realize that the conservatorship was actually being reviewed until like I was listening to the newest episode of Britney's Gram today, and so I'm just so happy that they're actually like taking a look at it. And
because this is the first time it's been reviewed literally since it started.
And it's just like all these people just that have been a part of it for so long need to be looked at. Like, it's just crazy that all these men have like taken away. This woman is like one of the most powerful, like popular women in the music industry. And all these men like have her power and like took her power away from her and are like in control of everything she does.
Yep.
Well,
yeah, I can't even lie and say that I'm not like scared for her.
Yeah, it just makes it feel like nothing's ever going to end.
No, it's really tragic, and that's what I keep stressing to people and like everybody who keeps making the joke out of it and acting like everything's going to be okay, like, oh, like Larry got fired, it's going to be great, blah blah blah. I'm like, no, like there's absolutely no way with the amount of money and power that is tied up into this situation that this is going to be anything easy for her, especially because she does not have any rights. It's bizarre.
Yeah, she has like no rights as an American citizen. She's being like controlled.
Yep.
In multiple ways.
And now she's finally, you know, doing everything she said she was going to do in the song Rebellion, which is, you know, it's wild. I was waiting for this. I knew it would happen one day. Like, I knew one day she would get tired of it and, you know,
and I feel like would
blow up.
I feel like it needs to be said because there's a lot of talk about how she left court barefoot. And people are, like, using that as, like, a thing. Being like, she's crazy. See, she's still doing the barefoot thing. Blah, 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 blah.
Only wearing uncomfortable
shoes. Wore shoes inside the courtroom, everybody. She was in the parking lot where she thought nobody was watching her. Her was a blister on her shoe or, like, on her foot caused by the shoes.
Have you not taken your shoes off at every single, like, wedding you've ever been to?
Exactly. There was no flip-flops. There was no other pair of shoes she wore. So she took the shoes off.
Because they're uncomfortable.
Yeah. But it was, like, nobody was in there. She thought she was alone. There was a paparazzi who, like, actually one of the Britney's Gram people saw him. They said he used some crazy, crazy, like, army-grade lens to get this shot. And they said it had to have been at some crazy angle where he lucked out. And it's just, like, so unfair, like, people taking these, like, private moments of her and just using it against her and to say you're crazy. And, like, someone else said, oh, she looks disheveled. But no, she didn't. She didn't look disheveled. And people saw her that day. And, like, they said she looked fine. Like,
I look disheveled all the time.
Right. Yeah. And also, it's like, okay, well, she's fighting for her rights. Like, I guess you would look a little disheveled, too.
She's a human being.
Right. Like, listen, anyone who's in a courtroom for that many hours, you're not going to look like a can of peaches when you come out, I'm telling you.
Yeah, when you're fighting for what you're fighting for. Like, come on. It's just, I just made me so mad when, like, the barefoot thing came out. It's just, like you said, Jessica, like, I have been, there have been times I've been out all night with my friends. And once we got out of the taxi cab, I was like, I'm sorry, I can't walk in like these heels anymore. And I walked on the streets of New York City into my dorm room in bare feet. Do I need to be under a conservatorship? Maybe, but I don't think so. Like, not because of that.
Siobhan, I'm going to take your smartphone away. You're walking barefoot.
I know. I wish I was next making that much money to guarantee. That's the only reason I'm not under one. I don't make that much money. My parents don't care. If anything, right. I cost them money. So they don't want anything to do with me. There's nothing to conserve.
Nothing. Oh, my God.
Relatable.
Oh, my God. So relatable. Oh. Well, Logan, we are so appreciative of you coming on here.
You are such a wealth of knowledge about Brittany. That was really impressive.
Jessica, I would not have steered you wrong by bringing him on here.
I knew you wouldn't.
Yes, I was hoping you would be trusting me. So obviously, next time we'll have to like think of another like, well, I know we talked about doing glitter before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Logan, would you be up for like doing a breakdown of the movie Glitter?
I've never seen the movie Glitter. I'm excited. I know.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Hashtag justice for Glitter.
Yes. Yes. So we'll have to think of that down the pipeline. We'll have to schedule something.
Yeah, later. For sure. And if any like breaking news comes through with this Britney thing, we'll do a follow up.
Yeah. Or any important like breaking news of like an artist from like, you know, that time period. We'll have to bring Logan on.
Yes, thank you guys so much. I really appreciate this. I was really excited when Siobhan brought up the idea of it, and this has been really, really fun for me. So thank you guys.
It's been super fun. Thank you.
Where can we follow you, Logan, online?
You guys can follow me at Logan Riley with 3 Y's at the end on Twitter.
Great. And you can follow us on at Totally Pause Pod on Twitter. No D. It was too many characters. We are Totally Paused Pod on Instagram. I am at Jess Paused Pod on Instagram and Twitter.
I am at Sio Monroe on Instagram and Twitter because, like I said, Maryland is part of my brand and I refuse to give it up.
Yep. And as I said, I only changed my handle because I don't want you to know my children's last name.
That's smart.
No offense.
Listen. Yeah. Well, this was good. So we'll have to keep an eye on the movement, maybe give some updates as we do our episodes, Jessica, if anything important happens. So
yeah, for sure.
Yes, and if seriously, if you guys want to play that song at the end, I think that would be really freaking cool because not enough people have heard that song, and especially with what's happening right now, you need to hear what she was saying back in 2006. It's insane.
I'm going to hunt that down tomorrow.
That should be the anthem of the Free Britney movement. I think we should declare it here.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's called Rebellion. That is our national anthem until Britney is free.
Yes. If the girls from Britney's Gram are watching this or listening to this, they're welcome to do a crossover podcast with us at any time.
So stay tuned for the song. We will find it.
Okay. Well, we're outie.
We are outie.
Bye.